Welcome to Monday Morning Moments, a weekly podcast dedicated to helping you make the most of the moments in your life. I'm your host, Mike Van Hooser. We've taken a couple of weeks off to close out the summer. We're really excited about season two, and hopefully you've had a great summer. And we've got a lot of great topics for the fall, including interviews and sessions on peak performance in sports, business, and life. For today's episode, and to kick this new season off, I wanted to play a recent session that I did with my Ranch Bible Study class and talking about deep forgiveness and talking about God's grace. Occasionally, we'll cover the spiritual dimension on this podcast, which is essential and foundational to my life and to our lives when we really think about it and peak performance in life and in all aspects of what we do. And I think it's very important to think through those things. And for Psalms, this is the Psalm of David that we taught about, and just thinking about how we can receive God's grace and God's forgiveness in our lives. And I think this is essential as we think about relationships as well, as we extend grace to other people and we receive forgiveness from other people, that we need to do it on a deep and specific and complete level to be able to operate successfully in all aspects of life. So here it is, and I hope you enjoy today's session on the blessings of deep forgiveness. Tanya did a great job of teaching on Psalm 51 last week, and Psalm 32 is connected to that. And you'd think, well, the sequel to that, it's got to be Psalm 52, because, right, 51, 52, that's how we do it. But kind of in Star Wars fashion or something, we're doing one, and then we're coming back, and this is 32 is really the sequel to 51. But last week, there were a lot of things that we got really deep on around true repentance. And if I had to summarize that, and there was a lot of material that was there that was just great, it was about true repentance, about deep soul-level repentance, about specific confession of sins, and you know, not just generally at a surface level, but deep confession. And this week, we're going to be talking about the blessings of deep forgiveness. And how if we get to that point where we're confessing our sins, which is a challenge and Satan doesn't want us to do, how do we receive that forgiveness and what are the blessings of that? And so we're going to see how David transitions from when I confess my sins, here were the blessings, here's what I felt from that as well. And you know that the Psalms are songs, and I'm not sure back then that he would have written a song like this, but today maybe it would have been a song like this. And so we'll play a quick video that's kind of the transition between how we feel about confession about sins and accepting God's forgiveness. So hopefully you've had some coffee, because there's going to be a lot of words, but we've got the lyrics up there, and it's kind of a more fast song to get us energized this morning. And then I think it's a good transition for what we'll talk about around deep forgiveness today. So traffic lights, extinguishing the hope that the green ignites. All right. Thanks, Jerry. Based on the big hair contest, we used to have hair that we could just like sling like that, you know. I think I may have. No, I never had that. So transition. I don't know if any of y'all have that on your playlist, but transitioning from this, I think that, you know, you think about how we approach sin, and David was at that point, you know, just hating consequences because running from God was his best defense. You know, he didn't want to admit that. Even when Nathan confronted him about that, and it's sometimes how we feel about sin, that we run from him, you know, because we know that we let him down, and we don't want to deal with the consequences of that. Some of us don't get to that point, and that's another thing, because we have to get to a point to where we have to admit that. But there's a blessing that we receive when we confess our sins, but also the deep forgiveness that we have. And I love the words in that song where it says, when the doors were closed, I heard, no, I told you so's. And I think a lot of times if we, on a personal level, there's a lot of, well, I told you that was going to happen. That's our natural instinct. But with God, he wants to extend grace to us. And even if he told us many times through his word and through other people and through personal prayer not to do that, and we still did whatever that was, we can still receive that grace. And it's not conditional about getting a lecture at the end. It's about receiving that deep soul forgiveness that we need. And so, again, Psalm 51 being about true repentance. Today, Psalm 32 is about deep forgiveness. And Satan, again, doesn't want us to get to that point. But if we get to that point, as we study today, he definitely doesn't want us to receive this. And we'll talk about the reasons why, but also the blessings that we receive from that. So a couple of things, just getting into this. The big idea that I want us to be thinking about, and I was wrestling with all week this week, was that, you know, we must receive God's forgiveness deeply and specifically and completely. And there are three ideas around that as we study the text. I think they're very important. When we talk about deeply, it's not at a surface level. And again, Tanya talked about repentance at a surface level doesn't work. You know, if it's got to go deep. You know, she made the analogy of just cutting that out. You know, but we have to have something that fills the void of that. And so we have to receive his grace on a deep level as well. Have you ever extended an apology to somebody? Maybe ask for forgiveness. Maybe it was not bringing, evidently we had a lot of desserts at the social, but maybe you didn't bring dessert to the social. And so you apologized for that and you said, I'm sorry about that. And somebody said, that's okay. But you received it more at a surface level and you thought, oh man, they're going to tell somebody. You know, you're scrolling through, you know, Facebook here and thinking about what's the veiled message or veiled tweet they sent out that was about me because I didn't bring the dessert to the social. Or, you know, they're calling somebody and we're calling up those people and saying, hey, have you talked to, you know, John lately? You know, did he mention anything about the social? You know, we're worried because we don't really receive the grace. And maybe they were very sincere in their forgiveness, but we've got this, man, we didn't receive it at a deep level, their forgiveness, and left it alone. We think they're still thinking about that. And a lot of times that's how we approach God. We don't receive it at a deep level, and we've got to receive his grace at a deep level and know that he's forgotten it. Specifically, it's really important. So this is the other thing I want you to be thinking about. When we think about deep forgiveness and think about forgiveness, we've got to have specific, you know, grace on a specific level. Tanya talked about repenting on a specific level. So we've got to receive that on a specific level for specific sins. Because if, you know, Satan will try to get us and say, well, you're not forgiven, and say, well, yeah, I'm forgiven. And we do it at a general level. And he may be in our head and say, yeah, but not for that. You know, he could never forgive you for whatever that is, that egregious sin that you did. For everything else, maybe, but not that. And if we agree with him and give him a seat at the table and don't, you know, say, yeah, even for that sin, he has forgiven me. And more than that, he's forgotten it, or better said, he's chosen not to remember it. And so that should be how we feel about grace and receiving that. So it has to be for specific sins. It just can't be a general, he's forgiven us. That's good. And we know that Jesus died on the cross once and for all, and, you know, all of that. But in our confession, in our receiving of grace, we've got to do it at a specific level so that we will receive that. We won't hear the lies of Satan in that. And then completely, we, you know this intellectually, but for everything, we've got to receive his grace, you know, completely. And again, knowing that he died on the cross for us, knowing that he rose again for our sins, but we can't continue to wear it like an anchor over our heads and think that our relationship has changed with God. And I think it's very easy to get in this mode that even if we receive it and receive it specifically, but we don't receive it completely, we know God's forgiven us, but we still walk around with an anchor. And we still think, well, our relationship has changed, or every time I go to talk to him in prayer, he's still going to be thinking about that. I used to, when we were doing work with the Houston Astros, it was interesting. I had some conversations after some Bible studies we led with some of the Astro players, and they would say, man, I've been in a slump. I think it's probably because of some unconfessed sin in my life. You know, I mean, they would, you know, talk, and we'd talk about that, and I said, well, is there? Well, no, I think, you know, I've confessed everything, but surely that's the reason I'm having the slump. And jokingly, I might say, no, I think it's just that God likes the pitcher better than he did you. No, but no, I didn't say that. but I may have, but we got past that. It was sarcasm. But really, it was about, no, maybe he was just throwing heat last night. Maybe you're just not seeing the ball. Maybe that's what you need to go into and do that. And likewise, I think a lot of times in our lives with grace, if we don't receive it completely, we think that that relationship has changed with them. And because of that, we start tying events to all of these other things. Now, there may be consequences of things if we have not confessed that sin. So that's that. But what we're talking about is when we acknowledge it and we've confessed the sin deeply and truly and specifically in our lives, that we receive that grace deeply, specifically, and completely in our lives. So I think that's really important in just thinking about, you know, the things that we want to talk about today. So he wants us to be near to him. And in Ephesians 1, 3 through 8, and I've got some of the verses up there, Paul talks about this. He says, praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. And so just a summary of that up there, there's no sin that you have committed, maybe are in the process of committing or will commit, that isn't going to match his glorious grace, which he freely offers us forgiveness and redemption to the riches of God's grace, and he's going to lavish it on you. And so we've got to approach him in that way, not only when we confess our sins, but when we receive that grace, because there's a lot to do. He wants to accomplish things in and through your life. And if we're walking around with an anchor around us, if we're carrying that sin still, even though we've confessed it and we feel like we've received his grace, but it's only been at a surface level, then we're going to be carrying that anchor around. And we're going to feel like we can't accomplish things that he wants to accomplish in and through our lives. And we've got to, you know, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, we look down when we fail him, or we feel like we've done something that keeps us from being used by God. We've got to look up first. So we've got to look up to him, and then we've got to look forward, and we've got to look ahead and make sure that we understand what he's got in store for us and receive what he wants to do in our lives. So with all of that said, let's dive into Psalm 32, because that's the precursor to just what David expresses. So in Psalm 32, I'll read the first four verses, and then we'll talk about them. Psalm 32, verse 1, blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as the heat of the summer. You can definitely probably relate to that last one, and just the heat. As well, this is much more extensive than any kind of heat we would feel here. But David uses the word blessed. You know, he doesn't say, blessed is the one who never sins. And we know that's not possible. But he doesn't say that. He said, blessed is the one who's given forgiveness. And he uses four words to describe sin. He uses transgression. He uses sin. He uses iniquity. And he talks about deceit. And so, you know, in all of those, it's, you know, outright rebellion against God, maybe turning down the wrong path and missing the mark with sin, iniquity being, you know, just a disagreement, you know, a distortion of the truth or going against God's will, and the deceit being a willful, you know, that I'm continuing to sin over and over again against God. And then he uses three words around that about what God offers. So he says that we're forgiven, that our sin is covered, and he counts no iniquity against us. And I think that's important to remember, that it's forgiven, it's covered up, you can't see it anymore, he's chosen not to remember, and he's forgotten it. And that it's not counting against us. It's not like he's got this chalkboard there and he's saying, well, that's one against Mike, you know. That's two, you know. If he gets to seven, you know, he's out of it. There's a run rule limit on this, you know, on sins. And so, I think it's important to make sure that, you know, we understand that and we receive that. Paul in Romans 4, 7 through 8 quotes Psalm 32, 1 and 2, word for word. And he says, blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against him. That's how he said, will never count against you. And again, for some of you today, you may need to receive that. It may need just be a blessing that may not be something that you're currently dealing with, but it's still a past thing. And you've got to release that, and you've got to say, that's never going to count against me and what God wants to do in and through my life. And you just need to receive that and be blessed, you know, through that process as well. In verses 3 and 4, David transitions a little bit, and he describes the anguish and distress that we feel and that he was feeling from a deceitful heart that remains silent about an acknowledged but unconfessed sin. So he's describing a deceitful heart that remains silent about something that's acknowledged, you know, and that people know about, and even Nathan had confronted him from, but it's unconfessed. There was a time before he went through the true repentance that he talks about in Psalm 51 of not expressing that sin and not confessing it. And the words for kept silent is intentional non-communication. You know, he was intentionally not communicating about that. It refers to both talking and hearing. So he wasn't talking about it, he wasn't confessing, and he wasn't hearing from God, from the Holy Spirit, about that, because he was intentionally keeping silent about that. Again, it kind of goes back to the song, you know, I so hate consequences that running from you is what my best defense is. And, you know, we think that we can get away from that. We think that we want to do that. And for some, I don't know if there would be a good motive, but there's some motive that you could kind of justify, because I know I let you down, you know. When we let down people, we don't want to face up to that, you know, because there's an anguish that we feel, and we have to process that. Eventually, hopefully, we're coming back to that person, or we're coming back to God and saying, I know I let you down, and I'm confessing that right now, and I'm receiving that grace. But there's a process that we have to go through if we feel that we have a heartfelt relationship with that person to say, man, I'm dealing with this, and I know I let you down. And when we let down God, we think, you know, that's the most egregious thing that we can do. And so there's a process that we have to go through. And he explains what that process was, knowing kind of what we have to do. And we can't be silent about that. You know, he describes it as, I kept silent, my bones wasted away, my groaning all day long. There's not only a spiritual anguish we feel, but there's a physical anguish. You know, and he wasn't feeling that anguish just for a moment. Or sometimes, you know, kind of when you get out of bed in the morning and maybe your back hurts, maybe just a stretch and you're good, or, you know, whatever. He was talking about a groaning and bones wasting away all day long. And I can definitely relate to the, you know, the summer heat and the being dried up. You know, we try to go attempt to run and there's feels like temperatures that the weather people try to scare us with, that it feels like 115 out there, you know, and you go out there. And immediately, you know, into mile one, and it's just, man, it's just beating down on you. And no matter how much water or Gatorade you have, it's just, you know, drying you up. And you're not able to do what you, you know, normally can do in running or whatever it is that you're doing, or walking outside. And that's what he was feeling. It's incapacitating when we deal with sin and it's not confessed. And he's describing that and giving that testimony around that as well. He talks about also just, you know, God's heavy hand, you know, on us. And I think what he's talking about is not that God's intentionally doing that, but in the Holy Spirit guiding our lives, we have a guide and a conscience that basically helps us decide and understand and discern right from wrong. And so when we are in the point of not confessing our sin, we can feel that. It's like a heavy hand, you know, on us, because we are able to discern that's not God's way. And there's a difference between right and wrong, so that's the process that we feel. But verse 5 provides the pivot point for us. And this is where David kind of goes into that. He says, "But I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." I find it very interesting that he uses those words of sin, iniquity, and transgression again. He already talked about, blessed are you when, you know, that you cover, you know, the transgressions forgiven, the sins covered, and counts no iniquity against us. He uses those very same words, and I think he's being very specific about that, that I confessed it all. I didn't just generally confess it, as we learned last week, that there, the sin, the iniquity, the transgression, all of it. And if you have to distinguish, I mean, we could say those are synonyms for each other, but basically what he's communicating is everything that I did, I confessed it. I've confessed it all, and I confessed it specifically. And he's saying the testimony for that as well, and he intentionally does that. In verse 6, he says, "Therefore," and this is a transition again, "therefore let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance." And so he's transitioning to give an authentic testimony of, here it is. First he starts with a blessing of deep and specific and complete forgiveness. He talks about the process that he went through and that we all feel when we have unconfessed sin in our lives. And then what God did for him in that process. And then what he encourages us to do, that we need to immediately run to him. We need to limit the process of anguish that we feel like, and that we need to run from God. Because we know that he knows everything. You know, and he knows that we know that he knows everything and sees everything. So running from him is not our best defense. It's coming to him immediately and coming to him and say, "I messed up in this area, and I want to receive your grace, and I want to receive your forgiveness for the things that I've done." In Matthew 11, 28 through 30, Jesus says, "You know, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And so in finding rest and peace and mercy from him, that's what we have when we have deep forgiveness. And we need to learn from him. I think it's interesting, we often think about, you know, giving him our burden, but in the middle of that, it's learning from him in that process. And hopefully we're growing, because we're not going to have growth in our lives if we don't receive forgiveness and receive his grace on a deep and specific level, and a complete level as well. Proverbs 4:25 says, "Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you." I think this is very important, again, in not only just living a life free from sin and pursuing that, but also in receiving grace, is that we need to look ahead. You know, we're still looking back, and there's a quote that I like that we have used before that Fulton Elser says, "Many of us crucify ourselves between two thieves, regret for the past and fear the future." And we think about this as related to, you know, to sin and related to forgiveness and keeping us from what we want to do. Satan wants to paralyze us. And so that, you know, regret for the past and fear of the future, you know, regret that, man, all these bad things that I've done, and, you know, he can never use me, and fear that I might do it again, or that he can't use me in the future. And Satan's just bombarding you with all of those things, and we're giving him residence to do that. And then saying, no, that's not the case. He's forgiven me for that, that, and that, and on a deep level. And he's chosen not to remember it, and he wants me to look forward and fix my eyes ahead and look straight forward, because he wants to do things in and through my life, and I'm trying to live for his name and his renown and share my faith through that in the platforms that you have. And so, again, we can't let these, and I think the language is very apt on, you know, this, it's thieves. It's stealing from what God wants to do in and through your lives. And we can't let the thieves of the regret for the past and fear of the future steal from us the purpose that God has for us as well. I think one other point on this, and we'll transition to a few application points and close out. I think it's important that if we don't, you know, fully receive his grace, again, deeply, specifically, and completely, we're going to do a couple of things. We're either going to try to conceal our sins, again, when we in the future, or what we may do is receive his grace, but try to go out in our own strength. in the future and try to combat that. And what that looks like is in our prayer lives, and I've been in this spot before where it's like, God, I'm sorry, you know, I'm confessing, I receive, you know, I want to receive your forgiveness for that. I'm never doing that again. And we kind of rise up in our own strength. You know, I'm never doing that again. And then a day later, we're doing that again. We're thinking that thought, or we're lashing out, you know, this way. And it's like, oh, man, I did it again. I'm going to confess that sin, and I'm never doing that again, God. And we start making bargains with God. And I think at that point, we haven't received his grace deeply, specifically, and completely. Because if we did, then we would realize we're incapable of, you know, doing that. Yes, we need to have personal resolve. You know, yes, we need to say, I can, I should not do whatever that is. But in that, we also have to understand that Jesus is the one who died on the cross. He's the only one who can forgive our sins. And he's the only one that can help us live a Christian life and live according to what God wants us, how he wants us to live. So it has to be a coactive process. We have to have that personal resolve. But we have to understand that it's only by his grace and faith that we're going to accomplish the things that he wants us to accomplish and try to pursue that. When I was single, I led a singles class at the Woodway campus. And this was way before, or not way before, it was a little bit before. Dating me too old. But it was a little bit before, you know, contemporary worship in the church and all of that. And so in a singles class, which is kind of awkward anyway, you know, occasionally we would sing songs in there. And there was no real worship leader, cool worship leader to get up there and everything. So it's a cappella, and you're kind of meeting people for the first time. And, you know, it's kind of awkward anyway. But occasionally we'd sing a song in there. And there was a guy always who wanted to sing a song. He wanted to sing one song. And it was this song, Sinner Saved by Grace. You know, it was kind of an old hymn. And so he always wanted to sing that. And there's nothing wrong. I mean, it's a great song and a great hymn. But I felt like, and we felt like he was emphasizing the sinner saved by grace. You know, it was the sinner part that he was kind of emphasizing. And in that song, and if we realize God's forgiveness in our lives, we have to, I mean, it's sinner saved by grace. You know, the saved by grace needs to be amplified. That's how we need to live out. Colossians 2:6 says that, you know, for just as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. And so Paul, who also wrote Ephesians 2:8-9, that's how we receive Christ Jesus the Lord. And Ephesians 2:8-9 is by grace through faith. And so just as you received him in becoming a Christian, and you can do that, you have to walk in him that way. And it's by grace through faith. And that's what David is encouraging us to do, is that by grace and through faith, we have to continue to walk in him and make sure that we emphasize that. Paul, in all of his letters, addressed it to the saints. He wasn't saying to the sinners, he was saying to the saints. And it's a much more powerful thing in our lives when we believe that we've been redeemed by God and that we're walking out as saints who still have the capacity to sin. Not that we're perfect, but that we're walking out in his righteousness and walking out in the power of Jesus Christ every day. And it's much more powerful than when we're walking out with our heads down low and feeling like we're a sinner and that we can't be saved by grace. Just a couple of things I wanted to close out with in talking about the blessings of deep forgiveness. I think a couple key points from this. We discover rest and peace and mercy when we sincerely confess our sins to God. So again, Psalm 51 and Psalm 32 tie together. So when we confess it, we're able to receive peace and rest and mercy. And we've sinned, and whether it's a little sin or we would classify it as a little sin or a big sin, that's what we want. We want rest, and we want peace, and we want mercy. Hiding and concealing our sins do not work, and the longer we try and conceal them, the more callous we are to becoming towards hearing the Holy Spirit. And I think if we walk down a path where we're not acknowledging that, and the further we go, the more callous we become to hearing the Holy Spirit work in our lives. God sustains us and rescues us from chaotic forces in our lives. David talks about these floodwaters, that we need to come to him quickly so that the floodwaters won't overwhelm us and bombard us. And that's the imagery he's using, and so that we can be lodged in Jesus Christ as our foundation, and that we're not overwhelmed or bombarded by the sins in our life and the consequences of those as well, and that he wants to sustain us through that and rescue us. God hides the faithful in the protection of his presence. That's very true. And then when we receive his forgiveness, we receive his presence and protection. So if we know that, then we need to be asking him for grace and forgiveness. We don't need to be ashamed of that as far as coming to him with it. I mean, yeah, there may be shame in, you know, some of the things that we do, but we need to make sure that we come to him with a spirit of knowing he wants us to do that so he can draw us near to him. And that's the way that we do it. A couple application points and just walking out with this. God offers his forgiveness to everyone and can use anyone for his glory. Again, some of us just need to receive that today. That, you know, whether you've never thought that, well, he can never use me, and it's not necessarily because of a sin issue, it's just because of, well, I don't feel like I have a platform, or I don't know that he wants to. No, he can use everyone and anyone for his glory. And as David says, he doesn't say, blessed are the people who never sin. It's those whose sins have been, you know, covered. That doesn't give us an excuse to say, well, I just want to sin more and amplify grace, as Paul talks about. We want to make sure that we're having that personal resolve not to do that. But in the event that we do, we need to receive that he can use us and use anyone. We're not immune to sin in our lives and must deal with it directly and completely with God. I mean, I think that's the whole transition between 51 and 32 is that, you know, making sure that we pray first and foremost that God puts protections in our lives and that we try to, you know, we're discerning what the Holy Spirit is guiding us on, what choices to make in the thought lives that we have and the actions that come from those. Maybe it's also personal accountability and making sure that we're in a small group and that we have people around us who are living the right way and are calling us out on certain things as well. That can be a part of it. God is not shocked by your heart, and his steadfast love and faithful love remains constant regardless of circumstances. David later in Psalm 32 talks about steadfast love or faithful love, and the Hebrew word is kesed, and that basically means it's the Old Testament's highest form an expression of love. And so that's, I mean, it can't get any, you know, more than that. And so in that kesed love, it's regardless of circumstances. And so, again, we can get into this mode where we think, well, God didn't know about that, or he's going to be shocked by this when I tell him. Well, one, again, he already knows, but our mind is thinking about that, right? I mean, when we conceal it, that's what we're doing. You know, it's probably what David went through in that. Man, he's really going to be shocked when he finds out about this. You know, or that he's shocked that I would do that. And, you know, it's just, he knows that. He knows what we're going through. And so he's not going to be shocked by anything that happens around. Maybe disappointed by that, but he wants to restore you so that we can get on with what he wants to do in your life. And so we have to receive that and have to understand that. But again, some of us is just getting past that point of, well, I'm sure he's going to be shocked by this. So I don't know how he's going to deal with this. And then the last thing is that he instructs us daily in the way we should go. I mean, if you've been around church or read the Bible or anything, you know that. And there are plenty of verses to back that up. But I think when we're looking for what direction to take, and there's so many people today that look for direction in so many other things, we have to continue to look to him through prayer and through his word to instruct us daily in how we should live. It's not a, I'm not doing this again. It's receiving his grace, receiving the power of Jesus Christ in our lives to live that type of life that he wants us to live. And then it's being instructed daily and going to the true source that's going to guide us in that effort as well. And so, you know, just in all of this, I think that we just have to receive it on a deep and specific and complete level and have to walk in that. And it's tied to confessing it, but it's also tied to receiving that and not giving Satan a seat at our table. It's going to try to distort us from receiving his grace and walking in power and the power of Jesus Christ in our lives.